this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Okay, I had that further down. Let me cross that off. Done. Okay. I thought we better start with that one today. It's a great day today. Just a couple reminders. You saw it on the slides there. If you're interested in helping us mow, just let me know. I didn't plan that. It just rhymed. So, if you're interested in mowing, let me know. How's that? And then also Julie Yerger, Free Methodist missionary, is coming here March 25th to speak to multiple churches. If you're interested in coming, it's free. Doesn't cost you anything. We're providing breakfast. We just need a head count if you are interested in coming. 9 a.m. breakfast. We should be moving through that by 9:30 and being here to listen to her. It won't be an extremely long ordeal. This isn't an all-day event. It's just for an hour or so to meet her and hear her. So if you're interested in that, just let me know so we can have a head count so we can provide the proper amount of breakfast for you guys. Or if you want to come and don't want to eat breakfast, still let me know you plan on coming if you would, and we can let them know. We're taking a family vacation this coming weekend, so Pastor Eric will be here next week, and Dr. Jeff Johnson will be here the week after to bring the word. So blessings to you guys next week. I'll be here the following week when Dr. Johnson's here. I'm excited to hear him. An update real quick, his son Ian went home Friday, which is fantastic news. Just praise God for his mercies, man. We're going to talk about that today as well. But a fantastic blessing to him and his family as they head home. And great results there as well. Still some work to be done as they get home, but a fantastic thing to know that he's home and he'll continue with therapy at home. But what a great event that is. So we're thankful to God for hearing our prayers. For those of you that are wondering where in the world Easter and Palm Sunday fall this month, it doesn't. It's next month. In 4 weeks, Palm Sunday, be here. It'll be a special Sunday for many different reasons. And then the following week, be here as well. Easter Sunday is in 5 weeks. What a great time. We always have a meal afterwards. So please, I implore you to invite guests. Why? Just to expose them to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power that he's promised and that he's shown to each and every one of us that call on his name and that believe him. So that's in 4 weeks, Palm Sunday, 5 weeks, Easter Sunday. For those that are wondering where in the world in March it falls, it doesn't this year. It moves from month to month if you didn't know that. So in April, we're going to look at Jesus, his journey. When we start April, his journey, both to the cross, then to the grave. And then as he presented himself to the witnesses that he saw in the world after his resurrection, we'll also be looking at our journey. Our journey as it pertains to sin, salvation, and then how we present ourselves to the world as well. So in April, that's what we'll be talking about as we get into April and Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Both Jesus, his journey to the cross and grave and resurrection, and our journey to sin, to salvation, and how we present ourselves to the world as well. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and that's where we'll be today in verse 13. And as you're going there, I just want to reference, last week we talked about worshiping the King. We read from 1 Chronicles 16:29, and it says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." And we talked about just worshiping God in his holiness and in his beauty. And then Wednesday night, we had we're in Acts in our Bible study. We had a great discussion. And we talked in reference to our position to Christ and his sacrifice. What he did, we sang about it just now. The price he paid on the cross for each and every one of us. It says when we believe, we are saved. So I want us to look at who Christ is in us. Who Christ is in us, in our lives. Who is he? Who are we? Who is he to us? Who are we to him? And then what place do we give him in our daily walk? A lot of times it's back in the shadows. And a lot of times it's just left over. And a lot of times we forgot to pull him out of the trunk we stuffed him in the morning. so we didn't have to drag him around to see what we do throughout the day. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So he announced himself, but he also said, 'Who did they say that I am?' So they said to him, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' But he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter stepped up, and he answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' So they were saying, 'This is who other people say he is.' But Jesus pushed him a little further. 'I get that, but who do you say that I am?' So Simon Peter, the first one to answer up, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" But listen to this verse, the last verse we're reading out of this, in verse 20, says, "Then he commanded his disciples that they should not tell anyone that he was Jesus the Christ." Now, Jesus the Christ had already done some different activities. He'd been out there healing people. He's healed a leper in Matthew chapter 8. Demon-possessed people, he's healed them. He's walked on water. He sat with whom? The tax collectors and the sinners. We may not be tax collectors, but we're all sinners. And the Pharisees saw that and got frustrated with that. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, let me read that real quick. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. "When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" Here you've got this great teacher. What in the world is he doing hanging out with those people? In church, we have to be very careful that we don't look at people and call them those people. We have to be careful who we hang out with and who we sit with. But we have to be very careful not to pretend like we weren't ever those people. Why is he with those sinners? Same reason he's with us sinners. Okay? I mean, we're all sinners. But Jesus heard that, and when he heard that, he said to them, he didn't miss much. I get the impression they were probably talking under their breath, but he got it all. And he responded to them and said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And we talked in our Wednesday night Bible study as we go through Acts. Several times it keeps repeating, he came and told them that they were to preach repentance for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. Church, our job is still today to teach and preach repentance for the remission of sins. Amen? I mean, that's our job. He gave that to us. We talked about the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. Make disciples. And you do that by teaching what they had been taught. So he's already done these healings. He's walked on water. He sat with the tax collectors. And the Pharisees were frustrated with it. What business is he doing there? And Jesus answered back. And again, "I didn't come for the well," he said. "For the well do not need a physician. I came for the sick." Look around. We're the sick. Okay, now we may minimize our affliction. We may minimize our affliction by saying, well, I don't have both arms broken. I only have one. They have both arms broken. You get where I'm going with this? We try and compare our illness with others. Pride is an illness. Gluttony is an illness. We just want to put labels on it like alcoholism, drug abuse, pornography, drug addiction, all these different things. But God says, man, I came for all of you. All of you that are sick. All of you that are sinners. And he said, we don't need to pretend anymore. I thought it was interesting this morning when in Kish's classroom today, her Sunday school class, and she had on the board one of the scriptures that I was going to reference. And I thought, well, how great is that? You know, that's happened over the last several weeks, of what I'm talking about are things that's happening in Sunday school. Now, I don't know what you guys are teaching in Sunday school class. I know you're teaching the Bible, so we're all on the same wavelength. And I said, well, that's bizarre. And Kisha said, no, that's a God thing. That's a God thing that all these things tie together, that we have Sunday school class again, that we're preaching messages, and they relate and tie in and line up with the Bible. And that's what we teach and preach here as well. And I thought fascinating how it referenced that that I was going to mention today. And it talks about our connectivity to the Word. And when we don't have that connectivity, how we get lost. And again, we can minimize ourselves and say, you know, this isn't going to be any good. We're struggling through this. We go through these things. And we can immediately start disconnecting from God. And then that's where it becomes, you know, when parents are upset with children, what do they say? Your son and your daughter, it's no longer my son and my daughter are driving me nuts. It's your son and your daughter driving me nuts, or those type of things. And we do the same thing with God. Your God, because months ago or years ago when you accepted him, he was your God. But you didn't get your way now, and all of a sudden it's your God didn't save my so-and-so from death. Your God did not save my job for me. Your God did not heal me. Your God did not save me from this car accident or this illness or this disease. We have to stop pushing that off and saying that's your God, and your God didn't serve me. Because he tells us in Lamentations 3, we've read this before, 22 through 26, says his mercies are new how many mornings? Every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, he says. The Lord is my portion. It goes through these different things. And he tells us all these things. Let me read this real quick. Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. I'll read that first line one more time just in case. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Man, that's a whole lot of promises right there for us that are going through troubles. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Not great might your faithfulness be. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. I hope in him. The Lord is good. But in verse 25, I think that kind of holds the key to everything we're looking at and reading here. And it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. But listen to this line. to the soul who seeks Him. We have to pursue Him every day. We have to pursue Him. We have to go after Him. Adam, I showed up at church for umpteen years. That's great. I appreciate you guys being here. But that is not pursuing Him. That's accounting for a roll call, so to speak. Okay? Our job is to come here and grow and learn and pursue Him. To seek Him. And it says these things are for those that go out and seek Him. We can't sit here and say, I've been there 20 years showing up. I've done nothing more, but God, please plop that blessing in my lap. And I'm going to use the word plop a few times just so you know. Lord, plop this blessing down here. Or God, show up in a mighty way and plop a mate down, a good mate for me. Lord, would you just plop down that lotto ticket that I bought last week, please, Lord? I mean, if you just do this, man, I can fix all my problems. Probably in your problems because you didn't restrain in areas you should have restrained in. Having more money, you'll probably still have that same habit of failing to restrain. But we can't show up and be inactive for God and expect Him to be active for us. Lord, I've showed up, but I've done nothing else. I haven't served You. I haven't studied You. I haven't read Your Word. I've followed along a time or two. Lord, I've picked my Bible up. I've moved it because it was blocking the way of something else. But it's an active spiritual life that He's looking for and He desires and He responds to. He responds to that active life that is seeking Him. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's people that seek Him and still say, God, where's my blessing? I come up against these things. But I'm just trying to show you that we cannot show up and expect things to happen when we haven't done anything. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Maximum reward for minimum effort. Man, when we see that in the workplace, it frustrates us, doesn't it? My Lord, they get the same raise I got and they just sleep all day long. They have everyone do their work and they got the same reward as me. But God says, I will give to you the measure that I need to give you. And by the way, that measure I give you, that's enough for you. Why? Because I made the recipe and I know how much to pour out for you. I know what I want to give you. When these trials and troubles come along, we have to know where God is. His mercies are new every day. He says, we may have pain and suffering in the evening, but what comes in the morning? Thank you. Joy comes in the morning. His mercies are new every morning. We are to renew our mind daily. We are to strengthen ourselves daily. Great is His faithfulness every morning. The Lord is my portion. We know what we can give to Him. I think we're just in a place sometimes that we say, God, I don't know what to do, man. I'm waiting on You. And we've talked about this before, and God says, man, I'm just waiting on You. I've got more to preach on today. But I truly believe God is just saying, just stop where you are. And we need to reach out to Him. I can preach this another day. I can preach it later. If I feel that's what God's telling me. But I think that God just says we need to take a minute. And every now and then we have to do that. We're going along doing our life and God says, I need to stop you or you need to stop yourselves. So can we take just a minute to pray? Can we do that, church? Just bow your heads, and you can pray in any way you want. If you want to look up at the ceiling, look down at the ground, look straight ahead, do it with your eyes open or closed. You know, there's different ways we can talk about being reverent, but I want you to just be responsive. That's what I want you to be today. Be responsive. It may be kneeling, laying, sitting, standing, whatever you want. But let's just take a minute to pray. And it's just going to be silent. Those of you watching on Facebook, do it wherever you are. If you're able to do that, let's just take as much time as I feel God is telling us to take. As you pray, some may just be lost and think, I don't know what to pray. It may be forgiveness. Maybe commitment. God may be leading you to an action. Right now, God may be leading you to an action after service. I want you to be obedient to that. Rex, while we're praying, if you could hit the blue microphone, turn that on for us.
Pastor Adam mentioned a disconnect with God. Me and my sister-in-law and her mom went to a women's conference this weekend, and I just wanted to impart to you guys something that was shared with us there. We build walls. We build walls, social walls, that close us off. What is right to say? What is okay to say? What is good to do? Is it okay to step out? Is it okay for me to come up here and ask for a mic to talk to y'all and interrupt Pastor Adam's message? When we get hurt, we build walls. And God gives a message, and He gives us a message, and He gives us a message, and we come to a place where we think, God, I've heard the message. Maybe it's just not for me. God, You said You would heal me, but maybe that just wasn't for me. Maybe I don't deserve that healing, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's social, whether it's work. And God said, if you put walls up to numb your hurt, you also put walls up and block your joy. You have to have faith to hurt in God. For Him to restore you so that you can feel His joy. And when you can do that, when you can trust that you can safely hurt in God, in His arms, in His safe place, He will restore your joy. He will give you your healing. He will restore your work. He will restore your stolen childhood. And when you feel that joy, you will love like you have never loved before, and you will be able to love God. And when you love God, just like when anybody loves you, when anybody loves you and loves on you and reaches for you and smiles at you and runs to see you because they can't wait to see you. You have feeling? God feels it 10,000-fold when you love Him. Trust God. Trust God with your hurt. And you will trust God with your joy. And you will trust God with your love.
Amen. Thank you. You know, I don't have this planned, but I feel like there's at least one person that has a brief testimony to give for God's goodness. Is there one person out there that has a testimony they want to give and share? And it may be tough and hard for you to share it. I feel you're out there. God's goodness in your life. God's restoration in your life. God's redemption in your life. No? Okay. Now's the time to share it. Amen.
There's something I wanted to share with you guys last week, and I didn't find the right time. So maybe this is the right time. So last Saturday, in between softball games, I went and saw a movie called The Shack. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's a really good movie. You need to see it. It was so powerful. In the movie, they call God Papa. And they reference, you know, that there was this boy who had been in church his whole life, but he didn't really know God on a personal level. And I feel like, you know, he was married to a woman who knew God on a personal level, and she called him Papa. And that just really resonated with me because, you know, I've been in church my whole life, but it's taken me a long time to get deep, to get that deep relationship with the Lord. You know, it's not just here. It's not just horizontal. It's not just wide. It's deep. And that movie just touched me also because I have a very tumultuous relationship with my father. And God came to this man who had this terrible relationship with his father, and he came to him as a woman in this movie because he didn't think that in that moment he could handle a father. And then when he needed a father, he came to him as his father. And I just think God comes to us in many different ways, and he comes to us wherever we are. And he gives us what we need in that moment, even if we don't know, you know, what we think we need. So I came out of that movie just realizing that I have so much pain in my life. Deep, deep pain. That, you know, an unforgiveness. And I came out of that movie knowing that I had to forgive to be able to have that deep relationship with Papa. And I came out of that movie wanting more and more to have that relationship with my Papa, you know? And there's a lot of us, I think, that have a lot of hurt in our lives and father, you know, troubles with our fathers. And I just thought, when I came out of that movie, that, you know, he is our Papa. And even when our earthly fathers are not perfect, and they never are, we always have him to rely on and to be there for us as our Papa. And I came out of that movie knowing that I had to forgive my father, or I couldn't really move on and get deeper. And so I really wanted to share that with you guys. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's a really good movie. And it seems silly that a movie could really touch your soul like that, but it really touched my soul. And I think it touched a lot of people in that room. I think if you see it, you'll really, it'll come to you where you are.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's news to me that his fathers were not perfect. Not really. And we're not perfect. And that was my point last week when we sang, "You're a good father, a good, good father." Where we as fathers fall short. We have our Father in heaven to rely on and to look to for our example. When our fathers have fallen short in our life, it's the same thing. We have the example of Jesus Christ to look to for our Father's sake. That's truly how it is, because we know that we got one that wasn't right here. And we know that there are sinners in the world and there are broken people. And there are imperfect people and parents, mothers and fathers. There's hurting relationships out there as well. There's hurting parents. There's hurting children. And we need to know that that isn't what God intended for any of us. He intends for us to be good people and to have good people in our life. And he wants us to make the choices to have those good people in our life and to be those good people to others. I thought it was quite entertaining and really precious this morning as we did band practice. I think Twyla was watching them as well, but Peter's girls were laying down and they were looking up on the screen and they were singing the words to the song and then they were just staring at him. And there's two girls that adore their father that just stared and watched him playing his guitar. And just staring intently. And I thought, really, that's what God wants from us when we're doing praise and worship. Really just to be looking intently at him. Focusing on him. And those girls were definitely focused on their father. But to just watch their little lips just singing the words, singing nothing but the blood. I'm trying to grow out of my comfort zone as well. When the Holy Spirit says it's time to do this, again, I've got a message prepared. And I've got the ending, but God said, man, this is what I want you to do now. And then God said, I think someone's got a testimony, something they need to share. I didn't say something they want to share, something they need to share. And it's hard to do that because I like to try and have this little system of order here. But I'm okay when the one that wrecks that order is God. And we want Him to come in and just wreck us. And we want Him to wreck our agenda in our lives. Amen? We want Him to set His agenda in place of ours. I've got a calendar here. You know, I'd love nothing more than for God to just rip pages out of that and say, man, just put me on the first page and draw an arrow to the last page, January to December, and just put God in the middle and have Him fill up every day. Every day. When we're gone on vacation, God will be filling that time, and He's filling that time with rest and relaxation and family time. You know, and I appreciate you sharing that this morning, because I think we don't need to pretend, church. We don't need to pretend that we're perfect. We don't need to pretend we have it all together. Sometimes, man, we're so distant because we know anyone that gets close is going to have a little crack and a little peek inside that door to our home and our life that says, whew, it's kind of a wreck in there. Now, it may be a wreck in our eyes or their eyes. We don't know. And by that, I just mean that when people think that our lives aren't perfect. I've told you guys many times before, I'm not a perfect man. That's no news to you, I understand. But man, I've had a life that's been good, been full of trials, and is now great. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm more than willing to share one-on-one with you things that I've been through, things that I've gone through. And it's real hard for us when we try and judge what people have done in the way of sin, when we haven't been there and we haven't gone through it. It's real hard for us to make those decisions about sex or sexuality, about adultery, addictions, abortions. It is real hard for us if we haven't been through those things. And I get what the Bible says, and the Bible's clear about those things. But the Bible's clear about God's forgiveness as well. And I just want us to be very careful, if we haven't experienced it, just to go a little easy on those that may have or those that go through it. Because they may be lost and broken at the time they're going through it. And we're to be light and salt. The scripture Kisha had in her classroom this morning says, yet he who has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And it talks about how deep we're in. And I was, you know, I thank you again for the word that you said. I've been in church my whole life. But man, it has taken so long. Now, those of us that are older than her by far, we think, man, we've been wandering longer than you've been alive. So that seems like a real long time that we may have been in church that long and still don't understand that relationship that He is calling us to. But He's calling. He's knocking and He wants us to answer that door. I think God's told me I'm done today. I have more, but I think He said, you're done. You've got my point across, Adam, from my word. And your agenda you can just put aside right now. So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You today. Holy Spirit, we thank You. You have shown up in an amazing way today. Your glory is filling this building at this time. Your glory is filling these people at this time. Your presence is making itself known at this time to this church body, in this place, in this sanctuary. Holy Spirit, we feel you moving about this place. We thank you for that movement. We thank you for stirring the waters. We thank you for ruffling the feathers. We thank you for moving us slightly out of our comfort zone. We ask you to continue doing that. Holy Spirit, that you would just come in and wreck our agendas. God, that you would change our agendas from our own to yours. God, that we could crucify the flesh today. Today that we can crucify the flesh. That we can become dead to ourselves so that we may live in you. And not only have life, but have life to the fullest. God, you call us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. And we ask that as we go out this week, you help us and you direct us and we respond to that. Being light and salt to others. God, I thank you for the growth happening in our church. The spiritual growth. God, help guide our steps as we go out this week. Keep us from going places you don't desire us to go. Protect our mouth, our tongues, Lord, to keep us from saying things that don't glorify and honor you. That don't bring you joy. Lord, let our face, let our stature, let our being reflect the love of Jesus Christ to those we come in contact with. Help us to put you in the middle of everything we do this week. Father, in closing, we ask you to be with Chelsea and Andrew. Lord, tomorrow, as they bring forth a new life into this world, we ask right now, Lord, that you just have miraculous and amazing things for that child. Lord, we ask you to be with the doctors and nurses in charge of Chelsea's care and the child's care. Lord, that you would be in that room, that you would fill it with joy. You would fill it with happiness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.